In chapter number 8 in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 8. I want you to turn there with me for just a few minutes, and I want to read maybe the first couple of verses here and then talk to us what I feel like the Lord lay on our heart. Chapter number 8 in the book of Hebrews, verse 1 and 2. Stand with us and let's honor the Bible. Now, of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. I want to stop right there just a minute. Wow. Wow. I want you to look at that. How majestic that one verse is. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. A minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. Wow. Our Father, we bow in your divine presence, O God, this morning. We come as humble as we know how, thanking you, dear Lord, for every blessing. We thank you, Lord, for your love, for your mercy. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have to be able to come into your house one more time. God, we stand before you this morning with fear and trembling. Lord, realizing the responsibility that you've laid upon us and the necessity of the preaching of the gospel. As the Apostle Paul said, is laid upon me, and woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Father, we realize that we'll be judged by every action, every deed, every thought, Lord, even unbecoming of a Christian. Lord, we'll be judged. Father, I pray this morning, Lord, as we walk into your sanctuary today, God, I pray that we come by the blood of Jesus, Lord, in all rights. And by the righteousness of your Son, Lord, we enter in that blessed place, Lord. We ask you, Father, again, that you'd anoint us afresh with fresh oil. Give us power to preach, Lord, this morning, the unsearchable riches of thy word. We ask you now to go with us in the service and save to the uttermost this morning. Those that are in the guttermost today, Lord, save them. We ask you now, Lord, to go with us, and we'll thank you, we'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name we humbly pray, amen and amen. I want to talk to us, if God will help me, for just a few minutes on what is Jesus doing now. I want to talk to us on that thought for just a few minutes on what is Jesus doing now. I think that's a legitimate question. As the Lord began to speak to my heart and began to unravel that thought for a few minutes as we began to preach the last few weeks on the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Oh, what a glorious thought it is when we preach about the cross. The Apostle Paul said, I've got nothing to glory in save the cross. What a blessing to know that we have the forgiveness of sin because of what Jesus did on Calvary's cross, amen. When he shed his life's blood for the remission of our sins, amen. What a blessing that is to know that we have the experience and have experienced the supreme sacrifice, amen. And the blood given that satisfied our heavenly Father in heaven, amen. And now we go a little further and we have preached on Easter of the resurrection of when they took him, the Lord, off the cross and carried him to the borrowed tomb and laid him there in hopes of the resurrection. And 3 days later, the Bible tells us that that God had raised him from the dead. The Bible said, everyone that will confess with their, believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that God had raised Jesus from the dead shall be saved. That's the very foundation of our salvation today. is the fact that we believe in a resurrected Savior who's alive. Amen. This morning I want to talk to us. Now the Bible tells us that we want to ask the question, what is Jesus doing now? And the Bible tells us 40 days of the day of Pentecost had fully come. The Bible said now Jesus, as the disciples were watching him and they were talking to him about the promise, he told them to go into Jerusalem and you stay there until you're endued with power from on high. And while he was talking to them about that promise, the Bible said that the cloud had come down out of heaven and picked him up and carried him back to heaven. And while they were gazing, watching him go away, the Bible said there were two in white apparel, said, "Ye men of Galilee," said, "why stand ye here gazing?" Said, "that same Jesus that you see going up in a cloud shall in like manner come again." What is Jesus doing now? And so now the Apostle Paul in the book of Hebrews begins to sum what we have heard. Amen. And now where is the Lord at? And the Bible tells us he has sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Amen. Now we know to this morning that our blessed Lord is the Son of God. Amen. And we know this morning that he has gone back to the Father to minister in the sanctuary in heaven. Amen. And the Bible said that he said of that true tabernacle, we're studying on Sunday night about the tabernacle that a man pitched while he was here under the direction of their heavenly Father. And as they erected that tabernacle down here with great meaning, amen, with every object was significant, with great meaning that was placed in its right place, built in its right order, amen, and placed in the right place. Everything was ordained of God, amen, as his presence dwelt in that earthly tabernacle. But here we find another tabernacle. Hallelujah. The Bible said, in whom God pitched in heaven, not man. Hallelujah. That perfect place where our perfect Lord, amen, dwells forever and forever. Amen. And the Bible said now he's a minister of the sanctuary. Amen. He is the minister of being the high priest. The Bible tells us every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices. He says, wherefore, it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Amen. And so now we know that those earthly priests, they offered sacrifices of bulls and goats and rams and turtle doves that were never able to clear the conscience of the comer thereunto. Amen. They would bring their sacrifices only to carry their guilt over for another year. But oh, not this high priest. Hallelujah. Once and for all, he carried his life's blood into the Holy of Holies, the tabernacle that was pitched not by man. I put it on that mercy seat. Thank God when it sat down at the right hand of God forever to make intercession for you and I. Woo! Hallelujah! That you and I can forever commune with God. Woo! Amen. So now he's ministering in the holy place in heaven on our behalf. Amen. He said, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. He said, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Amen. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Now listen, he said, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Woo! Hallelujah! In the Old Testament tabernacle, they'd carry their sin from year to year, over and over and over again. But thank God, this high priest, amen, that was merciful unto our unrighteousness and our iniquities, he said, I will remember no more. He had cast them as far as the east is from the west in the sea of forgetfulness, never, never, never to be reminded again of what we once were. And the sin is forgiven and cast away forever. Amen. He is the minister. But he's not only minister, but he's mediator. Amen. He's the mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. His priestly work was not after the Levitical priesthood, nor after the Aaronic priesthood, but it was after the order of Melchizedek, an eternal priesthood. All the Bible tells us of that Old Testament priest, they would serve for a certain time, and then they'd die. All the comers of that would bring the sacrifice would always have to worry, is this high priest merciful? Is this high priest loving? Is he compassionate to the poor? Does he listen to us? Will he go into the holy place? Will he conduct himself in a right manner? There's always questions concerning the high priest, but not this one. Hallelujah, there is no question. He is the high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hallelujah, which there was no beginning and there is no ending. He is forever. He's righteous forever. Hallelujah. The Bible said how these old priests would come in and bring gifts. But this high priest offered himself for yours and my transgression. And forever, thank God, seated. And he's the mediator, the go-between, the daysman. Somebody said, how can I get to God? You go through Christ, the mediator, our high priest, that liveth forever and forever. Well, I'm glad, thank God, that we have this Savior. The Bible said, who served, he said, under the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, how by much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Better promises. Amen. That the first then was old. If he established the new, then the first is old. Amen. That's what he said in the text in chapter number 8. He said, finding fault with them, he saith, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. He said, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant, and I regarded them not, saith the Lord. Amen. He said, I regarded them not, saith the Lord. That displeased him. He said, so what I'm going to do with you and with me, he said, I'm going to establish a new covenant with you. Amen. He said, I'm going to put my laws in your mind and write them in your heart. He said, I'll be your God and you'll be my people. Woo. What is he doing now? He said, it's expedient for me to go away
And he said, if I go away, he said, if I go not away, the Spirit will not come. He said, but if I go away, he's going to come. And he said, he's going to be in you, shall dwell in you, and shall be with you.
Yeah.
So today, on earth, we have the Holy Spirit here, dwelling with us and in us. He's with us, not Jesus. Jesus is in heaven, seated on the throne of the majesty on high, ministering in the tabernacle, not erected by man's hands, but in that holiest place. Seated, signifying it's finished. His work, his salvation work is finished. Amen. And now all of them that'll come to him can be saved. So now the Holy Spirit does his work here with us today. And he come to convince and to convict and to judge. That's what he's come to do. And so he convinces us that we're sinners. He convicts us of our sins. And he judges us. Amen. He judges us because of our guilt this morning. And who we are. We're judged by the Holy Spirit as sinners, as lost, unredeemed. And so every man, woman, boy, and girl in whom the Holy Spirit speaks to and begins to convince and convict and to judge. Somebody said one time, I said, preacher, don't judge me. I don't have to judge you. The Word of God has already judged you, and it's found you wanting. You're without, and you're doomed to die and go to hell. You're already judged to condemnation. But he didn't come to condemn. Jesus come to save. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit is dealing through the Word of God in the hearts of sinners. Amen. Convincing them and convicting them and judging them and bringing them to Jesus. If any sinner will receive the Word of God in truth, amen, the Bible tells us that that Holy Spirit that's working in this world today, amen, he goes to the Son. Amen. He talks to the Son on our behalf. He is the intercessor. Amen. When we don't know how to pray, we don't know what to pray. A sinner said, I don't know how to pray. He's got you covered. Amen. When you don't know what to ask for, the Holy Spirit knows what is in your heart, the very intent, and he carries that prayer to the ears of our high priest. And our high priest carries it into the tabernacle of the Holy of Holies. Amen. God sees the blood on the mercy seat and forgives the sinner based on what Jesus has done for the world. Hallelujah. And he saves to the uttermost. The Holy Ghost comes down and says, move over. I'm moving in. I'm moving in. Amen. I will never forget the day, the night when he moved in my heart and my soul. Do you remember? He's the minister of the sanctuary, the mediator of our salvation, and he's the man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
The high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I want to ask you a question this morning. This is strange in the ears of the hearer who is not a Christian. This is strange. It's a strange preaching because this is not anything like the world order. It's nothing like it. This is all heavenly order. This is not earthly order. If I was a priest in a Catholic church and I was all man word, I'd have you come up and you could drink of the cup and eat of the bread, and we'd put Christ on the inside of you and all these things, and it would be no further than right here. no further than right here. But he said, you have an anchor. You have an anchor of hope. Let me see if I can find it. I think that's just right over here, by the way. He said that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. What is he talking about? He's talking about the same thing that Paul talked about being the sum. He said that sum is the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. We're anchored in that place. Listen, he said, whether the forerunner, he said, is for us entered. Even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Boy, I tell you, I'm about to have a running fit. I'm trying to hold it down. Thank you, Lord. We have an anchor of hope. Reaches beyond the veil where our high priest is entered for us on our behalf, interceding for us. Oh, such a sinner, man, as I am, such a sinful creature as I am. But he opens up and he takes the veil, he pushes it apart and says, come on in here, son. Come on in here. And we have the rights to step into that holy of holies and do business with God. And God gloriously saves us. I'm in hopes of one day to receive my glory. The Bible said that the glory of a man fades away. It's like a flower. It comes up, and then in just a little few days, that beauty of that flower fades away, and it just drops off. And the glory, my wife grew some flowers in our flower bed. I don't know the name of them, but there's about that big round, and the prettiest red and the most perfect flower petals and flower that I have ever laid my eyes on. It was so beautiful, and it probably doesn't mean a thing to you, but I sat there and I just gazed at the beauty of the glory of that flower. I went in the house and I told her, I said, we need to get your camera. She got a real good camera. And I said, we need to get your camera out here and set it up on the tripod and put it right there at that flower and take the picture of that flower. I said, it's the most beautiful flower I've ever seen. Well, it wasn't long till we didn't do it, and the flower faded all the way. And it just wilted, and it was gone. We're wilting now. We're wilting now. Things aren't like they used to be. I go to the hospital and see these newborn babies, and the little eyes don't have any bloodshot in them. They're just white and clear, and they're bright-eyed. They're looking everywhere, and they're just so precious. They don't have a blemish, a scratch, nothing on them, no dents. They're just pure, pure, pure. And I look at them little babies, and I see that perfection. And I look at that, and I see the beauty of it soon to fade. Not many years, then we turn around and see that same creature as time has taken its toll on the creature and begins to wither away. One day they'll lay that old body in a coffin in the front. I was at a funeral the other day in Mississippi last Sunday, I believe it was. Preached that funeral. And the dear saint request was, do not open that casket during my funeral. I do not want people to see me like that. I don't think nothing about seeing anybody in the casket. I don't think nothing about that, but she did. And so the family said, Brother Williams said, she didn't want the casket opened. I said, I understand. And she's a gracious lady, and she didn't want it open. Wasn't nothing wrong with her. She just didn't want it open. And I thought to myself, what do you see her the next time? That glory has faded and fallen. But all that glory, amen, that she will possess in that heavenly city, that celestial shore. I'm going to tell you, it's all because of what Jesus is doing now for you and I. This morning, let me ask you a question. Do you have a minister that ministers in the sanctuary in heaven? Do you have one? You cannot minister there yourself. No man can minister for you in that place. There's not but one minister. He's our high priest, the Lord Jesus. If you don't have him as your minister this morning, you have no access to God. You're here this morning and you have no mediator. You cannot get to God without a mediator, because you are a sinful creature. And sinful creatures have no fellowship with a holy God. We marred that, and we had no way to it. When Christ Jesus came, our mediator, that took you by the hand, God by the hand, and said, I'll bring you two together. And we have access to God's grace through the mediator, Christ Jesus. If you have no mediator, you cannot get to God. You must have him. And if you don't have him, you're in trouble this morning. I'd like for us to get a song.